In this world of confusion in religion, where is God? Who is God? How do you find God? And if you're seeking, how do you know you're seeking the right God? Well, let's look into the Bible, and it's important to understand that the way that you understand how to seek God is to find the directions in the Word of God. And that you need to understand that His Word is the inspired Word that He has given to mankind. Now, when you compare the Library of Congress to the Bible, it's really an amazing thing, isn't it? And I remember the first time I visited the Library of Congress, I went in there and this great dome and all of these desks circular around there. And they have millions and millions of volumes. They have, they try to get every book published in the Library of Congress. And I thought to myself, man, that's something. And then I came back and I looked at the Bible. And God has given us in His Word everything we need to know about Him, Jesus Christ, and salvation. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? Now, the pages of the Bible will vary depending on the size of type and the thickness of the pages, but it will vary anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 pages. Compare that with the Library of Congress. And yet, everyone wants to seek God. Maybe He's over here. Maybe He's up in the mountains over there. Maybe He's down in the ocean under the sea. But where is God? How do you find God? How do you seek God? Well, today we're living in a world which is becoming more and more bent toward the supernatural, bent toward what you might say the occult, as evidenced by all of the things that have been put out by entertainment, the way that people live, the way they conduct their lives. There are probably more people practicing witchcraft than there are those who are true Christians. Now, there are a lot of pagan Christians, so you need to understand something very, very important. You have got to seek the true God through His Word, which is truth, and then you will find Him. And today, the reason we have church at home is because so many people are fed up with the churches that they go to because of the cliques, because of the politics, because of the ceremony, because of the control, because of all of those things. And they feel so discouraged that even in America, from 10 to 20 million Americans have forsaken the establishment churches, the big mega churches. You know, you walk in with 10, 12, 14,000, you get lost, you know, and you look around and people get fed up of 20 minutes of swaying back and forth and singing, wondering where is God, or they follow the bouncing ball. And in the songs and so forth, and then they have my text for today is, and then they sing some more songs and go home. Of course, after they collect the money. Then other people say, well, you need to go to seances, you need to go to diviners, you need to go to those who have spiritual power. Well, here in Isaiah, the 8th chapter, we are told and given a warning. So this is why, in seeking God, you must begin by searching the Bible. Now, I know there are many translations out there. And what we're going to cover today has none of the technical things that are necessary. So almost any translation will do. However, you need to understand this. If you're going to get serious rather than curious, then you need to have a good translation. And we have one, the Faithful Version, in its original order. And we will soon have the Old Testament Faithful Version in its original order and have the whole Bible together, because there are so many counterfeits out there. Because in this world that we are living in, we need to understand that the power of this world resides in Satan the devil. And he has so many things going, so many different places, that there is so much confusion that people don't know what to do. So what we're going to do is begin the first step. How do you seek God? And the best place to start is at home with your Bible. And so you just go ahead and open it up to Isaiah 8. And let's come here to verse 19. Isaiah 8 and verse 19. When they say to you, seek to them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Well, of course, the answer is, sure you should seek to God. But what it's telling us here is the right way. There is a right way to do it. So God tells us the right way. So he says, to the law and the testimony. Now he's talking about the law that we find in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the testimony is a testimony of the Old Testament and the testimony of the New Testament combined together. Because as we are going to see as we go through some of these studies, that it combines it all together, beginning with the Gospels. So let's go forward with this. To the law and to the testimony. Now notice, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So here's one thing you can know and understand, which is this. If you hear any minister say, Jesus did away with the law, you know he's wrong. Because Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill. And that fulfilling is still going on. He didn't complete it to do away with it, as we will see. Now, let's go further. Let's look at some other things. Let's come here to Matthew, the 16th chapter, Matthew 16. And let's look that even in the days of Jesus, we will see that many had the same attitude that people have today. Now, there's a new television show. I saw the advertisement on as I was watching the news the other day. And it had to do, I think it was Total Freak, Complete Freak, whatever it is, about magic, showing all the things that men can do with magic. And, of course, a good deal of the magic comes from those who have familiar spirits. And they do signs, and people, they wonder at it. And the one that they showed on the advertisement was where this man made it look like that he was cut in half. And then come back together, and everyone all excited here. Well, Jesus does not operate by magic. He operates through his word and through his spirit. And God's spirit can be with you on your search if you pray and ask God to help you. And he will. Now here in Matthew 16, verse 1, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came to him tempting him and asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Elijah made fire come down from heaven. What are you going to do? See, later when he was on the cross dying, they said, you come down from here and we'll believe you. Do a sign for us. And he answered and said to them, when evening is come, you say it shall be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning you say, tomorrow it will storm, for the sky is red and lowering. Hypocrites! How do you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times? Now, verse 4 is very important because this describes not only that generation, but this also describes our generation in which we are living today. Verse 4. A wicked and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. They want magic. They want something special to be done. But no sign shall be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. And he left them. He said in other places, Jonah was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Now, just a little thing as we go along. See if you can count three whole days and three whole nights from Friday at sunset to sunrise Sunday. You can't do that. That's another whole topic, but it also tells you who is telling the truth. Jesus or ministers preaching in the name of Jesus that know nothing about the truth of how and when Jesus was crucified and the reason and the meaning for his crucifixion. Now you can write in for the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. And you will see that Mel Gibson had about half of it right. The other half was all Catholic tradition. And we'll talk a little bit later why Jesus had to die and why it was him and who he was. But before we get there, we need to find out how to seek God. Now, let's come to the Old Testament again. Let's come to 2 Chronicles 15. And we will put these other scriptures together and see how the prophet of God explained it to Asa. And the prophet of God was Azariah, the son of Oded. 2 Chronicles 15. God doesn't want you out there not knowing. But you've got to come to him the right way. It's just like if someone gives you an address where you live or where they live and say, come on over to my house. And they say, well, I don't know how to get there. What do you tell them? Let me give you directions. So in the Word of God, he's given us directions on how we can find God. So Azariah, verse 2, he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear ye, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. Very interesting thing. See, because God has given free choice, if you want to leave God, you can leave God. If you want to reject God, you can reject God. But what you're going to do is you're going to suffer the automatic difficulties and penalties that come with it. Just like the law of gravity. If you fall down, you're going to hurt yourself a little bit. If you fall down harder, you may break a leg. If you're in a severe auto accident, see, in each one of these cases, you're breaking a law of gravity or inertia, correct? And God created those. Just like he created his commandments and his laws. So you get in a severe auto accident, and you have severe injuries, it's going to take you a greater time to recover. So likewise, as people in their lives in the world today, the way people live runs all the way from decent, upstanding people all the way to criminals, hard-hearted, those in prison, murderers, rapists, those who take drugs and so forth. So the whole spectrum here is, if you are with God, he's with you. If you are not with God, he will leave you. Now let's continue. Look at the next word. And if. So if you have your Bible there, you might circle that, because if means it's a condition for us. See, there are no conditions on God. Why? Because the true God is true, does not lie, faithful, merciful, kind, just. But he's also a God who executes judgment, who punishes the wicked. So that's why there is the if. If you seek him, he will be found of you. So you can find God if you do it his way. But again, notice the other side of the coin. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now we have a similar condition to what we have in the pagan Christianity of the Western world, if I could put it that way. Now, for a long season, Israel has been without the true God. Oh, there are many false Jesus, there are many false Christ, there are many false gods. And it's even of such now that you dare not speak against Allah or against Muhammad because you may have a riot on your door. The true God, without a teaching priest. And that's interesting, because there needs to be someone to teach, someone who will teach the faithful word of God, and someone who will do it the way that God wants. And too many men are out there doing it their own way, to have numbers, to have followers, to have people. And this is why when people go to church, they get turned off. So you can start to find God at home. But you have to seek him. Seek him his way. Without a teaching priest and without law, and when they in their trouble did turn unto him, this is how you start. You turn to God. Maybe your life is whatever circumstances you have had, which have caused you to be totally turned off from religion, totally turned off at life, totally turned off at people, disillusioned because of the evil that people perpetrate one against the other, and you just want to find God and find out if he knows and understands what's going on. So he says here, they've been in their trouble. Turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, and he was found of them. Now let me just state this. Here in America and in Britain and Australia and Western Europe, the reason that there are so many troubles facing these nations today from a vengeful, implacable foe is because they have turned their backs on God, yet while they have great numbers attending churches. And they go to churches and they hear false gospels and they hear things preached that are not true, because they are not following the correct roadmap to God as found in the Bible. Now let's look at some other encouragement that we have here. Since we're here in 2 Chronicles, turn a few pages back to 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28, which is really quite very instructive, because this is the time when David was giving Solomon, his son, the commission and also the plans and the money and all the materials to build the temple. And this was a time like none other in history, that God was with his people, that God was with Israel, and that God had given permission to build a temple, and Solomon was the one to do it. So when we're going through here and noting the ifs, ask yourself the question, am I doing the if? If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all the congregation of Israel, of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, notice what David tells him. Now, when you understand, David is the one who wrote hundreds of psalms in praise to God, in worship to God, and he was close to God. A little later, we'll see a couple of those psalms and how close he was to God because he sought him. So he says, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God. Now this is interesting, and it's also very instructive. It's not a one-time thing, you do it and it's over and done, fait accompli. It is this. You seek, and as we will see a little later on, you keep seeking. you keep the commandments of God and you keep keeping them. And God is with you. And God's Spirit is with you. And will open your mind and give you understanding, and you will surely find God. Now let's continue on in verse 8. That you may possess the good land, and may leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. See, God wants the best for everyone, but He's given choice. So we have to choose. Now notice what He says. Now picture this. Solomon was probably about 20 years old at this time. And you, Solomon, my son, know you the God of your father. Now we'll have some studies on how to know God. And how do you know that you know God? Very important. And serve Him with a perfect heart. Now what is a perfect heart? A perfect heart is a sincere heart with a loving desire to do the will of God. And with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. So the old saying is, you can run, but you cannot hide. And you may be able to hide from people, but you can never hide from God. God made you and created you for a great and a fantastic purpose and to have a relationship with you. So you need to find God. And you need to seek Him, and you will find Him. Now notice, continuing now, if, so look at that, we have three ifs right there in three verses, right? If you seek Him, He will be found of you, but if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now let's look at some other things about seeking God, which are very important for us to realize. And let's come to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Now seeking God, first of all, you seek the instruction in His Word. Then we'll see a little later on that there are some other things that you need to do. Isaiah 55. This is quite a verse. And this is why we are told to use the Word of God to find God. Because you can look at it this way. The Word of God is like the road map of directions to get to God. Just like if you want to go to someone's house or go to some place, you have a road map. And you get there. Or you can have it, maybe you have a car that has one of these automatic maps in the car. And what you do, you just can speak into the system and say, I want to go here to this place, and boop, comes right up, you see. Well, it's not quite that simple. You have to use the Bible yourself to get there. Now let's come here, Isaiah 55, and let's begin in verse 6. And here's the key. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Which tells us that if circumstances get so bad and you reject God and forsake Him, maybe you won't be able to find Him. So you need to think on that too. Call upon Him while He is near, rather than wait until you're so deep in trouble that you're like the man hanging down the well, holding on to a piece of rope that is slowly untwining, and there's no one to pull you up, and you're screaming at the top of your lungs, help someone! Don't let your life get down to that low. So he says, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. So you need to think about, what is your life? How are you living? Which way are you going? Because there are a lot of people who think they're upstanding and righteous that are sinners, because everyone is a sinner, so we'll talk about that in just a bit here. and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So it's going to mean you're going to have to change direction in which you're living. You're going to have to seek God. You are going to have to examine your life, your thoughts, your mind, and so forth, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have mercy on him. Now think of this. Regardless of your circumstances today, if you seek God, forsake your way, examine your thoughts, and as we'll see a little later here, repent of them, you're on the road to finding God. And always remember this, very important thing. As long as there is life, as long as you are living, there is hope. All of us are sinners, and God has called us to come out of those sins. Now notice, and our God, to our God you seek him, for he will abundantly pardon. So whatever it is that you've done in sinning against God, God can forgive upon repentance. Now let's come to Isaiah, the first chapter, and let's see something else about God. God is more than reasonable. God is more than loving and kind and merciful. Because God has given free moral agency, and God knows that people are going to go out and do things that they ought not do. Isaiah, the first chapter, let's turn there. Now here's what God calls upon many of the religious people today who are religious, who think they are righteous and so forth. Let's come here to Isaiah, the first chapter, and let's see something that's very important. Verse 15. Unless there is repentance, Isaiah 1 and verse 15, unless there is repentance, all of your religious practices will do you no good. Now, we recently had a famous evangelist in Colorado get caught with homosexual liaisons. And he stood up in the pulpit, and he had thousands come every Sunday. And please, no one understand this. Sunday is not the day of worship that God set aside. We'll cover that a little later. And he would prance back and forth in all of his righteousness and all of his prayers and spreading his hand back and forth and so forth. So just think of it this way. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Because you're on the wrong road map. You're not using the right word of God. Your hands are full of blood. So what is the solution? Repentance. Verse 16, wash you, make you clean, and put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. That's why it's important you learn the word of God. Understand what sin is. What is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. Then he says, learn to do well. What does it mean to learn to do well? That means to keep the commandments of God, love God, change your heart, mind, and thought with God's Spirit. Then he says, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. This is where prayer comes. You find a quiet place, you get on your knees, and you pray to God. And you just start it, you talk to God directly. Oh God, help me to find my way. God, help me to find you. God, help me to understand my circumstances. God, I know I'm a sinner. Help me to repent. Give me understanding. Lead me in the way that you would want. So he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If Now notice how many ifs we've come across just in this short study. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now when it says the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, that means it's sure and true and it's going to happen for the good and for the evil. Now let's see how we are to seek him again. Let's come to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Here's how we are to do it. Psalm 119. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now when it says the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, that means it's sure and true and it's going to happen for the good and for the evil. Now let's see how we are to seek him again. Let's come to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Here's how we are to do it. Psalm 119, let's just begin right here in verse 1. And yes, you can find God, you can turn your life around, you can come to understand God and his way and his truth and his word. Now verse 1, Psalm 119, blessed. So there are going to be blessings that will come, not necessarily physical blessings. How much is peace of mind worth? How much of knowing that your sins are forgiven, how much is that worth? How much is it worth knowing that you have a fresh start, a clean start, and every day you can have that renewed in prayer before God? Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his commandments and that seek him with the whole heart. There's a great and a tremendous blessing here for you. Now notice, if you are keeping the commandments of God, what does it say? They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. It's a tremendous thing. So the whole 119th Psalm is really a great and a fantastic a psalm. We've got two long sermons on it, and actually is probably a prophecy of what Jesus' attitude and things toward the law of God is. Now let's come to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7. Let's see what Jesus said, because this is something that you need to understand. Yes, you need to start someplace, don't you? And this is where you need to start. But let's also understand this. You have to keep at it. Now, Matthew 7 and verse 7. Here's a promise. Always understand this. The way that you can overcome the difficulties and problems you're in is to ask. Verse 7, Matthew 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. That is a promise. Claim the promises of God. And you start in your own home. You start with your own Bible. You start building your own relationship with God through prayer. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it shall be opened. Now, there's something special in the Greek language from which this was translated, and it means this. Seek and keep on seeking, ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, and God will hear. God will answer. Now, let's come back to the Old Testament again. Let's come to Psalm 63. And let's see why David was a man after God's heart, and how he sought God, and how he was wholehearted with God. Psalm 63. This is one of my favorite psalms in all the Old Testament here. And this is why David was blessed. This is why in the resurrection David is going to be king over all Israel. Now verse 1, Psalm 63. O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. Not late, not too late, not as a second thought, as a first thought. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Now, I got a letter the other day from a man who says, I am just so hungering for the truth. He read the book, Cult Holidays, God's Holy Days, twice. And he says that it just totally opened up his mind. Well, I can tell you this. That's God's Spirit working with that man to give him that hungering and thirsting. So if you've got a hungering and thirsting in your life, it's God's Spirit working with you. My flesh longs for you as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see your power and your glory as I've seen you in the sanctuary. See, because there was a time when David, before the temple was built, he had the Ark of God in a special tent in his house. And so he would come and sing the psalms and play the instrument of 10 strings before God. And he saw the similitude of God over the Ark of the Covenant. So this is what it's referring to. That's how close David was to God. Now today, we can be even closer than that because God will send his Spirit to be with you. God will send his Spirit to lead you. God will send his Spirit to guide you so in your seeking of him, you can find him. Because he promised that he would. So that's how you seek God. There's much more that could be added to it, but this will give you a start for studying in your own home. And this is what Church at Home is going to be about. You get your Bible, you study the Bible. We'll go through things which will help you understand it. Study on your own. Read on your own in addition to it. And we will cover many, many things in the future at Church at Home, and you can learn at home, and you don't have to be encumbered by going to all of these godless churches that reject Christ or have a false Jesus or have a political program, and you can study and prove the things you need to do. So this is how you start to find God. If you seek him, he will be found of you.